Well, I'm Amanda Hawkins. I'm the specialist lead for counselling and wellbeing at RNIB, and I'm talking today with Mari Thurston. Mari, do you just want to say a bit about who you are?
Yeah, so I'm Dr. Mari Thurston. I'm a senior lecturer in counselling at Abertay University, and I have a special research interest in sight loss and how it affects us emotionally and socially. So, and I am myself registered blind. I have a beautiful guide dog called Meadow.
Really lovely to talk to you today. So we find ourselves back in lockdown. How are you doing?
Well, it's I think maybe this lockdown is a little bit harder than the other lockdown for I think everybody, kind of in terms of the resilience and that. I think the first lockdown maybe was it was difficult and hard, but there was a sense of us, you know, getting through it. And now I think it seems like more of a long haul to be in it. And I just have a feeling that everybody's resilience is just a little bit depleted, maybe.
Yeah, and I just wanted to chat today just to kind of explore what we think some of the mental health impact for people affected by sight loss might be during this time. And I mean, I'll start it off just by saying, from like an RNIB perspective, we've gone through kind of waves and changes of impact. Right at the very beginning in March, you know, people were really worried about, you know, getting food supplies, you know, being on their own, dying in their beds, you know, quite sort of strong reactions. And then things started to settle down, but then there was the kind of like loneliness and isolation. And then we came out of lockdown, and then there was confusion about social distancing and, you know, people not being able to see and, you know, being blamed for not keeping 2 meters distance. But hang on, I can't see, or, you know, worries about guide dogs and, you know, a whole host of things in the non-lockdown phase. And then we've gone back into a series of lockdowns. And I think it's been a really confusing time. Is that something you found personally, but also with the, you know, the community that you work with?
Yeah, I think you've summed that up really well, actually. I think you're right. You've highlighted the kind of different phases of and problems associated with each of the phases that we've been through. Yeah, I think it resonates with me in terms of my own work. So working as a university lecturer, we had to move all our courses online. So I think from whilst there was a kind of benefit in some way of working at home in my own environment where I'm very familiar, I was moved to an online environment which I had to navigate my way through, and that was not without its challenges. I'm happy to say that, you know, I think I've managed it now, but it was a big learning curve. But I think for me it was I noticed like my confidence levels, I think, probably have dropped. I was always quite a confident with my mobility and getting around, but I think everything changed so much. So like all the layouts and shops, all the kind of everything that I kind of had and that gave me confidence, they like there were one-way systems and it was hard to navigate because, you know, you kind of learn your routes. So I think my feeling was that the world was changing around me and I didn't quite, you know, it's kind of indented my confidence. I think that's probably the impact of it. And even not being you know, that this kind of fear of using public transport, you know, because that's such a vital thing for me to get around. I think it's definitely had an impact, I think, on my confidence about you know, who I am and my identity, I guess, as a confident blind person.
What I hear you saying there is that you felt that you were a very confident blind person, but the impact of this COVID has left you feeling less confident.
Yes, definitely less confident, less certain about anything. I mean, I went to the doctors the other day, and even like the entry system is different. You know, you have to press a bell, so you've got to find the bell, then press it, and then like finding seats because some of the seats are blocked off, and you know, all of that is different every day. You know, every of these of it. Confident experiences that you have, you know, I think undermine my ability to believe that I can navigate in the world, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point. I think that sort of came out, especially in the first lockdown, but I imagine it's still around, is that sometimes as confident blind people, you have this really sort of regimented way of coping. You know, there are systems in place.
Yes.
And I think in the first lockdown, what it felt like is that was like a rug that was pulled from beyond your feet. And this whole support network that you'd taken a long time to build and was working really well for you suddenly went and you couldn't access it anymore. So like going to the doctors, you knew your way there, your guide dog probably knew your way there, you probably knew, you know, just there were little systems that you had set up to make yourself safe in that. But as you say, that's all changed now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, there are some, I think there's not much slack in our system when, you know, in terms of my navigating and that, you know, it's all pretty regimented. I think that's a beautiful word for it. So if any part of that goes wrong, you know, if there's a bin out of place, if there's a different entrance to something, I mean, that just, you know, can really throw somebody, you know, who's learnt their way around, and we are coping with changes, radical changes to this.
I think that's a really good point to end on, and I just wanted us to think about what we can do about coping with some of those changes. From an R&IP perspective, we have these sort of mental health sessions that people can phone in, book in. You can normally talk to someone within 24 hours that's a trained counsellor. And I think the stuff that you're talking about, it's not that sort of direct trauma, is it? It's not massive, but it's disturbing enough to leave you worried, a little bit less confident. And just by talking to someone, spending an hour, taking an hour out of a day, talking about some of the challenges, perhaps finding new ways of coping, and perhaps reassuring yourself that things will return and that you will survive, and, you know, it isn't going to last forever, that kind of stuff. You know, certainly our clients and customers are telling us that helps. Is that something that you would suggest that people do?
Definitely. I think what's interesting, though, is when we talk about mental health and, you know, having emergency mental health, I think people can sometimes think, oh, my goodness, that's for somebody who's really unhinged and somebody who's, you know, in a desperate state. And actually, it's not. A lot of the things about sight loss is that kind of notion of death by a thousand cuts. You know, these are all kind of small changes, but they do erode your confidence and your peace of mind. And I think just having a chat about these things, having a space to talk about it, I think sometimes the label mental health is off-putting for people, but I definitely advocate, you know, just talking this through just to somebody who will understand and who allows you to kind of sort out some of these cuts, you know, and make sense of them and figure out, like, you know, the impact of them on you. And I think that's a really healthy thing, you know, and wonderful that R&IB's got this opportunity to just phone and speak to somebody. Fantastic.
Thanks ever so much, Murray, for your time. And if you're interested in those emergency mental health sessions, you can access them through the RNIB helpline. And the number will be listed below. Thanks very much, Murray. It's lovely to talk to you.
You too, Amanda.